business school graduate, went on an interview for an accountant job with a small business. So he's in the interview, and the small business owner said, "I do need someone with an accounting degree, but really I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me." "Excuse me," said the accountant. "See, I worry about a lot of things," the business owner said, "but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money worries off my back." "Okay," said the accountant. "And how much does the job pay?" "I'll start you at $80,000. $80,000, the accountant said. "How can such a small business afford such a large salary?" "That," the owner said, "can be your first worry." Worrying is not good for us. First of all, it's not good for our physical health. Worrying gives us anxiety, and long-term anxiety causes your brain to release these stress hormones in your body. And these stress hormones manifest themselves in pretty ugly ways, such as headaches, insomnia, low energy, dizziness, chest pain, loss of sexual desire, frequent colds and infections, panic attacks, depression. Doctors report that 43% of all adults suffer ill effects to their health because of worry and stress. They also report that 75% of all primary care physicians, all the visits to primary care physicians are stress-related complaints or disorders. 75% of all visits to PCP are stress-related complaints or disorders. Someone once said that ulcers are not caused by what you eat, but by what's eating you, right? So worrying's not good for us physically. Worrying's also not good for us mentally. Oftentimes, we anticipate the negative so much that it destroys our peace and it minimizes our effectiveness in the present. Have you ever heard the phrase, "If you're tempted to worry, remember that a raisin was once a happy grape"? Worry tends to shrivel us up and make us ineffective. A survey of students in several colleges reported that the students that worried the most got the lowest grades. And I love Corrie Ten Boom's quote. She said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. Instead, it empties today of its strength." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 tells us, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In these verses, God is telling us that our minds need to be alert. We need to be ready for these attacks by the devil, and we can't do that if our minds are bogged down with worry and with anxiety. We also know that worrying isn't good for us spiritually. When we obsess with our worries, we're telling God, "I don't trust you with this." Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." He will never let the righteous be shaken. God tells us he's going to take care of all of our needs. So why are we not trusting him with that promise? One commentator said, "Worry is a form of atheism, for it demonstrates a lack of faith and trust." Ouch, right? Because I'm the only one who hit that hard. Worry is a form of atheism, for it demonstrates a lack of faith and trust. That's huge. God speaks to us very clearly in the Bible about worrying. We heard what Judy just read. He says, don't do it, right? He says, don't do it. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear." For some of us, we may hear that scripture and think, okay, I'm good. right? Because I don't really worry about having enough food or clothes, and I don't worry about my outward appearance. And that's what the scripture is saying not to worry about, and I don't. So I must not have a problem with worry. But Jesus said, do not worry about your life. So what would that scripture say if he wrote it just for you? Let's personalize it and look at verse 25 again, if you'll bring up that first slide. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about evil people hurting me and my family, or if I'll lose my job, or if my loved one will get cancer. So what would your personalized verse say not to worry about? I want us to look at the screens and just take a quick minute and be quiet. In your own mind, insert in those blanks what God would be telling you not to worry about. Not only does the scripture tell us that worrying reflects a lack of faith from our lives, it also tells us it's a waste of our time, right? It actually subtracts from our life. Verse 27 and 34 that Judy read said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's true, isn't it? Each day has enough trouble of its own. God doesn't want us to subtract from today by worrying about tomorrow. I love this quote that I read online, if you'll bring it up there. Worrying is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worrying is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. See, Jesus knew worrying was going to be an issue for us. It's why he mentions it again and again and again in Scripture. If you go to your reference in your Bible and you search up worry or anxious, you'll be amazed at how many times it comes up in Scripture. He continually addresses it because he wants us so badly to have freedom from worry. He doesn't want us to carry that weight on our shoulders. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus wants us to mind our hearts and actively push worry away. And think of how freeing it would be, friends, to truly live a worry-free life. So how? How do we get there, right? How do we get there in the midst of worrying about all of these things that are weighing on our hearts and on our minds? First, we need to make up our minds to trust God and allow him to change us. Psalm 94, verses 17 through 19 says, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. We are to make up our minds that worry will not take us to the silence of death that Psalm's talking about. But we are to verbally and mentally make up our mind that our support comes from God, and we are going to allow his joy to sweep in and take hold in our hearts. And it's not easy, friends. I know, trust me. I know it's not easy. It's a constant decision that we have to continually make every day and affirm that God will direct our hearts and we'll let his joy reign. This is how people of faith deal with obstacles that cripple most others. We make up our minds to trust in God, and he molds our hearts to deal with the stress and with the circumstances. We serve a God who spoke the universe into existence. He showed his love for us on the cross of Calvary. He demonstrated his power over sin and over death by rising from the grave. I think he can probably handle our worries too. So first, we have to make up our minds to trust in God and allow him to change that in us. And second, we have to be people of prayer. There's no substitute and there's no alternative to falling flat on your face in front of God of the universe and pouring your heart out to him. When we're stressed and when we're overwhelmed, God commands us. He commands us to come to him and to lay those concerns at his feet. I love Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and in thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the best part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. He's going to do the work for us, right? We, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which we can't even understand, transcends all understanding. He's going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And notice, this is the same promise here in Philippians 4. It's the same promise that he just gave us in Psalm 94 that I read a minute ago. When we make up our mind to trust in God and allow him to change us, and we come to him in prayer, he's going to fill our hearts with joy and peace and understanding. And those things are going to push the worry away. Worry has no place in the heart of one filled with God-given joy and peace and divine perspective. In Psalm 139, if you remember, King David prays that God would find the anxious thoughts and remove them. He prays that God will lead him in the way that's everlasting, in God's way. So in those moments when we feel worry and we feel anxiety start to take over in our minds and in our hearts, and I'm with you, I'm going to do this too. We need to, one, make up our minds to trust God, and two, say a prayer in that moment to give it to God. And it doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. That's the beautiful thing. It can be as simple as, God, I trust you, and I'm giving this to you. Right? God, I trust you, and I'm giving this to you. Say it with me. God, I trust you, and I'm giving it to you. Jesus wants us to have freedom from worry and anxiety. So let's start living in that freedom together.